enjoy turning to God's Word together. I invite you to follow along with the events of the bulletin on the screen as well. We are in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. Hear now God's Word. The man called his wife to Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments and skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned everywhere to guard the way to the tree of life. This is your Lord.
You have young children. What is the most stressful time of the worship service? I'll tell you. The prayer of confession. And it's when there's a time when everybody is silent and confessing, and your kids are. Well, it's weird when they start talking, and then you sit down. And I'm sorry to know, if you have young children, when they're in here, we love them, and we love you. Like, we want, oh yeah, let's clap for them. I don't want you to feel any weirdness, and so just bring those kids, because it's good to hear joyful noises, and, you know, you gotta teach them, you gotta teach them how to worship, and the only way to teach them is by bringing them into the worship. So we're glad that you hear, I would smile when I hear this, like it breaks up the repentance that I'm doing, which I need to do, and it gives me a little lightness. We're in a series called From Beginning to Battle, and I just want you to know that it was a blessing to, I just want to kick overview of the trip that we did to America. I wasn't here for last few Sundays because she came out here in America, and we had a pivot and serving with our mission partners, Tim and Barb Wood. This is a picture of her team, and then a picture of Tim with two of these younger pastors who he's mentoring, Jonathan and Holly. And we got to serve with them, we got to do a lot of hard work with you, and then they also were able to teach in the schools that they started, and to hang out with the church plants, and we did a lot of work out in the sun. It was hard work, but I would say the two guys who have led this trip for 11 years, Jim and Jack, they're much more comfortable doing hard work outside of teaching people to do this, like teaching colors and what the colors are to little, like, pre-K kids. That is outside of jail, comfort zone, and really funny to watch. So, anyway, the trip is amazing. I really am grateful to our church for the work that we are doing to the ends of the earth. We couldn't do it without your generosity, and so I just want to praise God for that. And as I was coming back, I wanted to understand what Pastor 3 was all about and what Pastor 10 had preached, and so I listened to the last two sermons, and they are two of the best sermons that I've heard, and I just want to publicly honor Ken, Pastor Ken, so we should, because it's, you know, the associate pastor doesn't get all that much for the hard work he does, and Pastor Ken works very hard, and he takes his investments, and it's a huge blessing to our church. So we're in the series, we're closing out chapter 3, and chapter 3 is one of the, I would say that it is the heaviest chapter, maybe in the Bible, with the exception of the chapter that talk about the passion of being crucified Jesus. And the title of my message is Hope Amidst the Wreckage. Because some people say that the Old Testament God, have you ever heard this? The Old Testament God is really nasty and vengeful, and the New Testament God is nice. What we're going to see this morning is that the God of, it's the same God, by the way, the God of justice of the Old Testament is the God of justice of the New, the God of mercy of the Old, if you find mercy, then it's the same God. And what we are going to see is that this God is actually merciful beyond anything we might imagine. That is why Adam and Eve have chosen this as records of their own sinful disobedience, and why you and I have the same way in front of our own sinful disobedience. And so we're going to look at these few verses and then try to apply to a lot of different verses. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much for revealing to us that we can be in human history and showing us how things went wrong and why they went wrong, and that they are so important to our own lives and the things that we do and the things that we fail to do. And so we pray that as we come to your word, we would be so humbly and very eagerly to learn from your word. And I pray that my words would honor you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill me as I preach, and not only fill me, but fill everyone here, and give us collectively, give us a hunger to know your word, to know you, and to walk closely with you and shine your light on you in the world. And I pray that you may be But I want to do, you know how, I don't see so much now, but you watch the show, and then the next week you say, previously, lost, right? So I just want to go through a summary of these three chapters of what we've seen so far in the book of Genesis, okay? Because Genesis 1 through 3, it is that you have an entire context of the Bible foreshadowed in Genesis 1 through 3, in each corner. It is an incredibly rich three chapters that sets up everything that happens from here on out. So in Genesis chapter 1, we have the eternal, infinite, all power, all loving, all powerful, all loving God in Trinitarian community within the three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And this God speaks the universe into existence. And so there's nothing, and then there's everything. And God does it. And there's a distinction immediately. Remember this, the Bible is filled with distinctions. The first one is the distinction between the Creator and the Creation. They are different. And the Creation and all creatures are utterly dependent on the Creator for everything. So God creates. In the first 3 days, He forms. He forms the space and the sky and the land and the sea. And the next 3 days, He fills them with stars and creatures and fish, and every day it says He's good. And then on day 6, God outdoes Himself and creates humans in His image. And these human beings, then, that we've never distinction, they are binary. They are either male or female. And they're created equally and very good. And one more distinction, there are 6 days where God labors, He produces, He creates. And on the 7th day, what does He do? He rests. And this is not because God is tired. He doesn't need rest, but He did this as a model for us. And here's another distinction for our life. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest and worship. And if we are listening to the Word, listening to God, then you and I, we don't just have permission, we're commanded. 1 day, to rest and worship. So I know it's hard, I know we're all busy. Do not forego your divinely granted weekly PTO, okay? Because you lose it if you don't use it. So take a rest once a week. Then it shifts to chapter 2, and we get towards us from day 6. And we have God creating Adam, the man, first, and creating him for His glorious purpose. To work the ground, to Himself be productive, creative, and practice dominion rule over the earth without domination, that is, abusing the power, the dominion without domination. But then the Lord notices it's not good for man to be alone. So what does he do? He creates Eve out of Adam's rib, so that she might be his strong helper and companion, because he needs help. And so they are then created to love each other and then carry out the most incredible, miraculous, amazing act, that of creating new life, a new body, soul, unity, another creature in the image of God to fill the earth and then continue in the path of ruling rightly. So Adam is the fact of headship, while Eve is the nature of Adam's authority to be helper in the mission. And they see each other, Adam's very excited, he sings her a song or reads her a poem, does something to impress her, because then they get married and God is the officiant. And in case they are naked and not ashamed, and they don't need clothes to cover themselves because they are unself-conscious, and they have no shame. And it's beautiful, and there is, amidst all that, one prohibition given to Adam: don't eat the fruit of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A million things they can do, joyfully and freely, glorifying God, but only one thing they cannot do. So, often, I have thought, you may have thought, why was the tree prepared for this temptation? Well, first of all, we should be very clear, James 1:13 tells us that God is not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt. For God is not tempting them. But to be clear, the text does not tell us why the tree was put there. I have a guess, and tell you what my guess is, but let's just assume, beyond guesses, that God knows what he's doing, amen? And we can trust him that he always did, and we ought not to, in this instance, in our lives, ever set ourselves up as judge over God and say, God, you justify yourself to me. Because that's not what we should do. It is God who is above all, it's God who judges sinful humans. So we can assume that he is good. My best guess is why is the tree there? Perhaps the tree is there to keep Adam from being humble, obedient about something they didn't understand. Or anything, right? And if you get a hero, needs to learn that the battles on the stove are not there for fun, the playlist. You know, the 2-year-old needs to understand that playing tag in the middle of the street is not actually a good idea. Do they get it? Do you give them an explanation? No, you just tell them no, and you have to learn to humbly obey. And that's true for adults as well. They need to learn to humbly obey. That's the only thing. But we do have to obey, amen? And so, I need to learn that. We definitely need to learn that, so does everyone. And at any rate, chapter 3 opens with decisions, tempting. Eve should come to see the temptation to do the one thing God has commanded Adam not to do, while Adam sits 5 passages. Adam then blames not only Eve, he blames God himself. And I really appreciated what Pastor Tim says last Sunday about how the great men, if you're married, the greatest way to love your wife is to put God first. Because if you put your wife above the grace of God, you're actually not loving her in the way that you love her. You're not loving her fully enough. Had Adam loved God more than Eve, he would have protected her from the temptation of the serpent. And he doesn't. It's a terrible, terrible punishment. The sin is broken in the kingdom. I've not seen that with the entire created order. And so God, my family, is the oracles. And the servant, which has, spoken with Eve, and they've been prideful. The servant is now a parable for us. How does the servant get from point A to point B? By swarming in the dirt, the lowest of low places. And we need to be reminded of him for such not to the proud, with grace to the humble. We need to be reminded of what Jesus taught, Matthew 23:12. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. The serpent is given that curse. He is given the judgment of how they're being painful. This amazing gift of life will come with pain, and pain not only in childbirth, but pain throughout the child's life. As we love our kids so much, it's hard to see them go off the rails sometimes. And pain also has a conflict between husband and wife, because she will want to leave, but he will call to leave. And for Adam, he's now to work and kill the garden of thorns and thistles by the snippy brow. And then the birds will be released from Christmas dust. If you were dust, the maize and dust and dust, the shall return to sin, and the wreck will begin from creation to youth, source of all sin and persecution and difficulty in our lives, including source of creational disorder, tornado, hurricanes, and you name it. When bad things happen, in the weather, and you know, these so-called acts of God, or even coming in that language, this is the fall, writ large, carrying the creation on the Sabbath. Romans 5:12, describing that we are inheritors of Adam's sin, and therefore, if the sin came into the world to one man, death to sin, so death strikes all men, because all sin, that is exactly the original sin that we see right there. And then Romans 8:19 says that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation is subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who is subjected, or the Adam of sin. In hope, the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God, coming in time where the creation will be restored. For now, the creation itself longs to be restored, that we will be restored when we are resurrected from the dead, or when we go to be with Jesus. We're waiting for you to stand. So, that is the summary of the first three chapters of Genesis before we get to this next. Verse 20, read it. It says, the man called his wife to be because he is the mother of all living. This is important. When Adam is rebuked by God, he does not double down on his sin. He doesn't argue back to God and say, but wait a minute, you gave me leave. Remember, when God levels the judgment, Adam receives it. And when you and I would do well to follow Adam's example of this, by simply listening when we sin and doing our best to turn away from our sins. And the way that we see Adam doing this is trusting that God is promising that those sins come into the world. Remember how he says in Genesis 3:15 that one of the offspring of Eve is going to trust the perfect head. Adam is naming Eve, believing in that promise. And so, what's incredibly ironic and hopeful here is that though Eve is just inviting death into the world, she is the mother of all living. What an amazing one to forget. But though Eve is the one who invited death into the world, she is called the mother of all living. And so, when Adam names his wife, he is naming her by faith, and he is reversing it down to the disorder that it happens from the beginning of Genesis 3. And I think that we need to touch on this here. And the natural order of things is God's status with God above, Adam, Eve, creatures. And what happens in the fall is a whole thing flips. So the serpent tells Eve what to do, Eve tells Adam what to do, and Adam and Eve both disobey God. So what's happened here is that hierarchy is being re-established, and now naming Eve and Eve being named the mother of all who live. And so, what an amazing thing this is. And I want you to think about your own life and think about the hope that that should give you, because I'm going to do something irreversible that the human race that they can't erase, and it's a terrible mistake and consequence. And yet, it's hope. my dad was recently with, from a 0 to 18, you will spend 90% of your overall time with your children. From a 0 to 18. 90% of your time with your kids is in your book. We have three little elements. We have one last. So that means probably we're at like 88%, you know. So, and I'm sorry, your mind is going to be one and a half year old. But I think about my own parenting. I remember regrets. And that came to be like, I'm thinking of the movie, and down the road, I wish that I went through 15 years of quickly all kinds of things. And that is difficult, but God is also useless. Because that's what came to pass. All I can do is look to the future and look in the way that I want me to going forward as best I can. And I think that what this text tells us about Adam, name, Eve, what he's saying is, look, yeah, we really messed up. But we're gonna move forward because God is merciful God. God is merciful God to you. And if you look back and they continue to happen in your life, if you just, you look at your life, you've done something terribly wrong, you look, there's nothing you can do about it. But you can trust the Lord that He will heal you and He will bless you and He will bless you. You need to remember. We see that it's from Adam, named Eve, the mother of all who live. Because your hope is in this merciful God who is also merciful to Adam and Eve. And yet there are still consequences in 22 through 24. We see that Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden. It says in verse 10, so I'll come back to 21. 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reap out his hand and he also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had taken. He drove out the man and then beat the garden of Eden to make the cherubim and flame and sword and turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. We've seen that from the tree, an important moment. God pauses and feels confident. It's similar to when God creates people in his image. And he first pauses there in 1:26 in chapter 2, where it says, God is not good that man is alone. And it's like he's pausing there. And here, God pauses again within himself. He says that Adam and Eve have now become like God, knowing good and evil. What does that mean that they are like God? Well, it doesn't mean that they are a threat to the God of the universe. Okay? They aren't now eternal. They don't have the same power or glory or knowledge. It actually means that they have become God-like in their attempt to separate themselves from God and define good and evil for themselves. Because God is the one who knows good and evil. He is the one who establishes good and evil. It is within his very being that he is all good all the time. He knows good and evil. What Adam and Eve have done, they have tried to separate themselves from God and define good and evil for themselves. And in that attempt, of course, they have experienced evil and unleashed it as a dark power and force in the world and within themselves. And of course, Romans 5 says, all the way down to us. So every single thing, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a dissident in Russia, in the Soviet Union's Tetris regime. And this is what he wrote. He said this: the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political party either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. This is good for that. Because you and I, we experience this in our lives, and so what God is doing here is drive you out. It's God saying, I do not want human beings live forever in this state of sinfulness. Because it would be miserable. So, rather than allowing me to continue to have physical life forever for sinners, they are driven out by God. And to be clear, this is a blessing, but it is also a release. It's also a mercy. Because life is hard. Amen? There are lots of things that happen in life that we don't want to happen. And, many good things, but now Adam is going to work a wilder and deeper ground outside of the garden. The era of paradise has come to an end. The word paradise actually means the walled garden. They are out in the wider, tougher world. And they are sent east, it says, in the text of 5, and the east enters now garden. And you'll see in the book of Genesis, when people go east, it's they're heading for tougher times, and we are as well. And so it's painful and melancholy coming to chapter 3, right outside of Eden. There will be much to be before, there will be many joys, but it will also be in the midst of pain and tragedy and difficulty. And that is what our last month, we got back from Tennessee, and we spent Thursday and Friday with 10 other couples from who we met in college, known for 30 years. And this is our group started for the last, and we took some time. It's been 10 years since we actually did it at all of us. And so we took some time to share with them, and we were incredible. All 11 of these couples are still married and still trusting the Lord, and we have kids that seem following Jesus, and it's truly amazing, truly good. And we're going around and just sharing how righteous they were. There were righteous works. You know, there were really painful things happening. There were some references to long-term changes, and not very much painful to people and friends who do this, lots of them as friends who are in some of these difficulties, some of these parents who are parents to them, and who have other families, and life speaks difficult, how people are burdened, and being driven out for us means that life will continue to be difficult, and this is right back to the garden. We should not expect that life will go perfectly well for us because we live in a broken and fallen world. But I want to return to verse 21 for the amazing news. In verse 21, the word I made for heaven and earth was garments and skin and clothing. And go back to chapter 2, where I said before, in chapter 2, the entire Creator made it by saying, unself-conscious and sinless joy, together and in the world, your nature has no shame. Ever since the fall, you and I have been clothing ourselves. And, you know, it might be true for a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old to run around naked in his house, think about where it ends, you know. Like a 10-year-old, you know, that's, you know, just we would all wear clothes. Me and I went on a pretty fresh month, and we got to change marketing. And we went to the beach, and at the beach, it was go to the right for the new part of the beach, go to the left for the not new part of the beach. And we didn't have a debate, we didn't really, you know, we're going this way. We're going to where people wear clothes. And that's the right call. So we're walking, and as we're walking, you know, we're talking to each other, we're looking out at the ocean, beautiful. We've never been to the Caribbean, it's amazing. And then we look back, and we look to where we're walking, all of a sudden, the people disobeying the rules. And, you know, this is like no one. For these folks who have decided to do this, no one needs or even wants to do this. And it's happened multiple times.
Why? You heard what we're supposed to be. And it's, there were so many that I can't keep it in my phone now.
I didn't.
And my point is
that we are clothed because we should be, because public nakedness is not great in our era. Why? Well, it goes back to the garden. And we need to cover ourselves. And it is needed and sinful to be covered. God intervened. Says that the Lord God made garments out of skins and clothing. The animals who provided the skins were sacrificed for animals. And this is the very first defense in the Bible. Throughout the Old Testament, some of you probably know that there are all kinds of different sacrifices that we are commanded to offer, that people can offer to the God. And you and I are called the sacrifice. In the New Testament, we're called the living sacrifice. Very important. But the most important sacrifice of all of you, God sacrifices for his people. And here we are, an incredible, beautiful, joyful covering his people. Sinful animals with a sacrifice to allow them to go into the broken world to carry out the mission he still has for them. The Bible says that if this is what I have, the fact that our people who are in the sacrifice, the one that we actually need, the only one that will fulfill what we desperately need, or at least for the present, the one on the heavens. God turns toward the suffering, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the function of sin. And because we are sinners, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, finally, Abba, Father, for you are no longer a slave, but son. And this a son, then you hear who God is. Really do this. Though you are sinners, God demands sacrifice for us. He has come to redeem us, to pay for his sin, and to give sacrifice on the cross. Jesus offers us. And apart from Jesus, we are orphans. We have no parents. We have no home. We are listless and restless, looking around for all kinds of things to fill us and make us feel good and relax. We are orphaned. Apart from Jesus, we are enslaved. We are enslaved to the appetite of our sin. We keep running out of sin to end in death. And we can't ever fix this. Through repentance and faith, you and I are looking to be your sons and daughters. We can take the Bible from sin. We can be free from the consequences of our sin. We will never be free this side of heaven, free sin, but increasingly, one day, completely and totally, we will be free from sin. And we, in Christ, as sons and daughters, we are heirs, we receive an inheritance that will never fail, that will never wear us. That's the best gift we can get, amen? So if you are not a Christian, and you are here this morning evaluating what Christianity is all about, I have a word to you. Christianity is all about Jesus. It's all about the sacrifice that he made on your behalf. Because you need him to cover the shame of your sin. And you will repent and trust in him in instant needs. You will be born again. You will be a new creation of son and daughter. You will be given new life, and you will be adopted into the family of God. There is nothing better than that, than what Jesus offers you here and now this morning. So, repeat, believe, and trust in Jesus. And you are here and you know this, and you are a Christian. It is also true that Christians struggle deeply with sin.
And maybe you are in a time in your life where you are just ripped by some sin, that you might be in a victim. It might be a secret sin that nobody else knows about. How is the time for you to repent? Now is the time for you to come forward. Not to tend to be out of the corner of the temple to receive, to pray for people to receive you, and their deacons in the back that will be ready to pray for you and receive you. Don't be prideful and secretive and humble. And if you do, come forward and we will pray for you. There is no shame. Christ has put away our shame, amen? He calls us to give the academy, we're called into the mission of practicing the ministry, of working the ground, of being productive and creative, working in life and serving the living God. You and I are called to serve the living Christ. And put away sin. And that's forgiveness. Jesus is faithful. He's closed with that sacrifice and made him cross. And the truth of God's sin has to be broken. So if that wasn't, do you have to? Father, we thank you that you have covered the sin of our sin and your goodness. And that means that the sin that is here to take the sin. We thank you that the glorious, joyful message of the cross is that we can come be forgiven. And so, Lord, I want you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, I want you to come and to minister. I pray that you would lay a conviction on your spirit this morning, because this conviction can also be matched by your faith. It's a very great hope that you do to do it first. Lord, I thank you for those who are burdened by difficult things. I pray that they would be forward and see them. Lord, I pray for those who maybe are unspirited or are not yet Christians, that you would first speak to them and you would repent and believe the ceremony. And we thank you for your incredible sacrifice for us. Thank you for sending me to work with you and thank you for doing it. And pray that we live our lives joyfully, productively, creatively, using the gifts that you've given us to your world, and more people might hear the goodness of adoption and be covered and share with you. We pray for you, God, in Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory before thee. Amen.
Lift up your hands and receive this blessing from God. We all know that Jesus is Lord, and we love you, and we lay down his life so that you do not need to be ashamed, but it can be the truth of Christ for you. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of him, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.